forever will be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love.
Yeah.
Pardon, here, this is the best part right here. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness,
yes, it is.
Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies. Only.
Of all the pretty sunset and all the pretty stream and every little songbird you sent my way to sing in my barren desert where nothing else grows, even in valley, you sent to me a rose. You gave to me a rose. Lord, I thank you for the roses you've placed in my life. For the old-fashioned preacher that carried the and in the valley where nothing goes, even in the valley you still give me a rose, you still give me a rose. For the freshness of the morning and the cool of the day, in my memory, where you took my sins away. For your precious Holy Spirit, I can feel down in my soul. That means more to me than any other road. Than any other rose. Lord, I thank you for the roses you placed in my life. For the old-fashioned preacher that carried the light. Well, in my soul, Lord, I thank you for the roses you placed in my life.
In my veins roweth dread. Oh. storm, or you get in those night times, or you get in that midnight, I tell you what, you'll reach for the hand of the Lord. Rebecca's got a little tendency. Sometimes when we're driving and the car seat's in the middle between me and Tammy, sometimes she reaches for Mommy. Another time she'll reach for me, or I've seen her reach for the other, or Samantha, but she'll reach and she'll want to hold your hand, and then she'll go to sleep. And oftentimes I like them. Myself in my life and my walk with the Lord, it often feels like sometimes I'm just a little kid, you know, trying to hold on to the Lord's hand. And His hand's so big, and yet my hand's so small. And sometimes, and you know, I got to remind myself, James, it's not my little hand trying to hold on to His big hand, but thank God it's His big hand.
Praise God.
Ain't that good this evening?
Yeah.
And I don't know who sung it, and I can't even remember the song, but there was a song one time. It said, "Lord, just let me feel my hand in thine." And sometimes, you know, you get down, and sometimes you get kind of struggling. And I never forget, I heard that song, and I was at that time, I was going through something. I said, "Lord, just give me a little extra squeeze, just so I know my hand's inside yours." I'm glad Jeff, He never lets you down. He always lets you know that you're His. I'm not going to be before you very long, and even today when God laid this on my heart, I want to try to encourage you this evening. I want to kind of remind you and encourage you this evening that if you're saved tonight, that no matter what happens, the best is yet to come.
Right.
No matter what goes on, it pales into comparison who your God is. I was sitting there thinking, Goliath, mighty giant, had a whole army trembling. Now, it never said that David was scared. And I don't know if he was or if he wasn't. I don't know if I'd say if I was or if I wasn't. But David said he remembered the bear and the lion that God helped him with. And he told King Saul, he says, "I can take care of this uncircumcised Philistine." And a lot of people saw the great giant, but David was relying upon a great God. So I want to encourage you this evening, and I want to give you some scriptures, give you what the Lord's given me. And I have to say, this is probably one of the best Wednesday nights I've been at church. And you said, "Preacher, no one shouted." Sometimes you don't have to shout to feel the presence of God. And a lot of times people's looking for a shout, and we should be just looking for God. If shouting comes, amen. If it don't, amen. But we should be looking for the Lord. So go to Romans chapter number 8, and I'll give you what the Lord gave me. Familiar scripture, but something to remind us this evening. Something that we should realize this evening in Romans chapter number 8. I'm going to start reading. I'm just going to read one verse. Or actually, I'm going to read from verse number 35 on down. But my heart is centered upon verse number 35 and verse number 39. And this is what it says. If you got Romans chapter number 8, verse 35, say amen.
Amen.
You ain't got to say hold up. All right, this is what Paul wrote, verse number 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen.
Would you help me pray? Precious God, come to you, Lord Father, one more time this evening. God, help us, Lord Father, to mind you, Lord Father. Help us, Lord God, we pray. Hide us in the midst of the cross, Father. We want to be an encouragement tonight. I know you'll bless your word. Lord Father, I pray that you bless us this evening. Father, I pray that you touch me. Lord Father, we may preach it in power, demonstration of your spirit. And Lord God, we cut her off when you say cut her off. And Lord Father, we keep going when you say keep going. Give us the words to say in boldness. But Lord, let us be wise. Let us be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Let our speech be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Oh Lord, I pray, not in excellence of speech, but in the plainness of the gospel. It's not something precious name to humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. I know it's simple scripture, and I know sometimes it gets quoted a lot. But can I remind everybody tonight that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God? I know sometimes there's things that happen in life, and I know sometimes there's struggles that happens in life, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. I know sometimes there's tribulations, and I know sometimes it's a severe affliction and distress of life. And I know sometimes we get persecuted. And I know sometimes that things come our way that may not come nobody else's way. And we get the thoughts in our heart or in our mind saying, does anybody else understand or know what I'm going through? But I'm glad tonight, Brother Jeff Curry, it doesn't matter if anybody else understands. And it doesn't matter if anybody else knows. But one thing it is good to know and realize tonight is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I'm glad to know that tonight when the Bible says, I want to say something too. A lot of times people talk about the love of God and they speak about it in a general type form or a general type sense, thinking that it is that way for everybody. But can I say, yes, God did love the world and He still loves the world. That's why He gave His only begotten Son. But the Bible says He does love His children. Amen. And He makes them and He blesses them and He guides them and He helps them throughout the day. Can I remind everybody tonight that no matter what has happened in your life, that does not mean that it could not get to you unless it passed by the eyes of the hands and that of the Lord. Oftentimes we think and say, oh God, I'm being busted down. Oh God, I'm getting broken half. Oh God, things is hitting me and I do not know why. Oh, can I say this tonight? It's not a surprise unto God. He didn't show up in His mailbox and He wasn't expecting it. Can I say our God is all-knowing, all-present, all-loving, and all-powerful. And can I say this tonight, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. I do know this tonight, sometimes when we get in a situation, in a circumstance, and I'm just going to say this and briefly, and probably just hush up here real quick, but I got to thinking about all the times that things come our way, and sometimes the things that we allow to be a whole lot bigger than what they are. I'm telling you this tonight, there's not a circumstance or a problem or a situation that's too big for God to handle. And can I say this tonight, sometimes we put more faith in the problem than we do in the problem solver.
Yeah,
and can I say this tonight? If y'all hear y'all the preacher this evening, I want you to know this. I've often thought about this all day long. I thought about even when the times when we think that we're doing the things that God wants us to do, and we find out that we're not doing, I'm glad He did not reward us according to our disobedience. I'm glad He didn't bust us down and said, since you wouldn't do what I told you, I no longer love you. I'm glad. That there's been times where I'm not glad there's been times I've done wrong, but I've been glad the times I have done wrong for the stop. He still loves me. I'm glad though that all those things that it talks about, the tribulation and the distress, the persecution. And somebody said, well, preacher, amen, amen. But the reason why Paul had put those things in the scripture, because the Apostle Paul knew some things about the tribulation and the persecution. He knew some stuff about the distress and knew something about the sword. But can I say this tonight? I don't care what they say. I don't care what your mind may think of. I don't care what your flesh might invent. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I mean, we should be able to pause right there and take ourselves a little fit and raise up a hand and say, thank God. I know maybe somebody else out there don't like me, but God loves me. I ain't trying to be difficult. I ain't trying to be bad. I ain't trying to be obnoxious. But I'm glad God still loves me. I know some people don't like bluegrass music. And I know some people may not like contemporary Christian music. But I'm glad God still loves me. Some people don't like Baptist church. Some people don't like Pentecostal church. But I'm glad God still loves me. Some people don't like Dodge trucks. Some people don't like Ford trucks. But I'm glad God still loves me. Is anybody hearing this preacher tonight? It don't matter what goes on in the world because God still loves you. How many of us this week has come through some things and fought some things? But can I tell you this? God still loves you. Oftentimes we give more credence to the things, and we give more earnest attention to the things that does not profit us. But as I want to say this and get to it and quickly come to a stop, I want to say this tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. The Apostle Paul put some things into perspective. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Sometimes we love to talk about, I love the blessings that come our way. I like it when everything's going good. But when things are going wrong, sometimes we get the molly grubs and we get upset. We have ourselves a pity party. But like it was preached last week, sometimes God's got to prune them bushes and prune them trees and prune them limbs that they might bring forth more fruits. You might hear this preacher this evening. And you may go out of here tonight and you may say, well, it's been some hard weeks, it's been some hard times, and I've been there. But the one thing you've got to be able to say also is that God still loves me. God still loves me. Oh, preacher, does God love you even when you do wrong? I got to think about the scripture in Isaiah chapter 59. And it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, and that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated us, separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. He didn't say God ran off from you. He said your sins put a block up in between you. Well, aren't you glad tonight that if you sin and come short, Brother Don, we can still take it to God, and he still loves us so much that he'll forgive us of all our sins and forgive us of all our iniquities and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And still yet we can feel the love of God in our life. Think about this, distress and tribulation and persecution and famine and nakedness and sword. I'm thinking about sometimes in that famine, a famine may hit. I know it was preached on Sunday night, a famine may hit. But as it was preached, the famine was put in place to drive them to God. Can I say this? And though there may be a famine in the land, there may be a famine in the world, but I'm glad there's riches and plenty in the household of God. In his storehouse, he's got plenty. And he said, I'll open up the windows and pour it out upon you. I'm glad tonight, though there might be nakedness. Can I say this tonight? There's not one thing you can do to cover up your life that God cannot see. I know some people might try to cover up sin. I thought about this before I got to that part about the sins that separates you from your God. Sometimes, as we preached last Sunday, the world is looking for a way to get away from the guilt of the sin that we have committed. And people don't like when sin is addressed or sin is brought to light because they don't like the feeling of guilt. But can I say this tonight? If there's no guilt, if there's no feeling of knowing of doing something wrong, the Bible says your conscience has been seared with a hot iron. And can I say this tonight? I'm glad that the guilt sometimes comes my way. At least it lets me know that I've done wrong. And then, Brother James, when I feel and know that I've done wrong, I can run it to God and God will forgive me. But can I say this? You can do wrong, but you cannot get by with it. Oh, Adam and Eve thought they could. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And when they noticed that themselves were naked, they tried to cover up themselves with some fig leaves and sewed aprons. And they hid in the garden. But just because they hid and sewed up fig leaves to try to cover up their nakedness, when God came into the cool of the day in the midst of the garden, he began to call out Adam's name. Can I say this? It's not because God wants to kill us, because God loves us. And he wants that sin taken care of, because sin and God can't exist. And that's why the darkness was upon the earth when Jesus died upon the cross, because God was dealing with sin. And thank God tonight, though we may be naked, and though God may see everything about our life, and though he knows our inconsistency, you might hear this prayer. I feel like a stump right there. I'm trying to hurt it. Oh my God. But I feel there's a stump right there. A lot of times people look at it and say, well, I don't want nobody knowing my business. Nobody knows what's going on. I'm tired of folks talking about my business. But can I tell you something? If God knows your business, that's the one person you got to worry about the most. Because God sees everything and he knows what's going on. And I'm telling you, you can mark her down, friend. You cannot sin and get by if you're God. But even Paul said, even in that time, God loves me. Yep. The famine that was in Israel, God drove the children of Israel and Jacob Think about this. If there's anybody that deserved a famine, it was Jacob. I mean, him and his mama got together and lied to Isaac and pulled the fast one over his brother. But God sent that famine not to kill him, but to drive him to him. It says also in the parable, But can I say this? In the perils of things, in the perils of this life, cannot compare to what God can do for you. The Apostle Paul said, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Iconium and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse in deceiving and being deceived. He said, mark her down, friend, you're going to go through these things, but be of good cheer. It won't separate you from the love of God. Just because you may have hard times and some people come against you does not mean God don't love you. God will still love you. One more thing. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 17. And when though we may fear the sword, the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Can I say this tonight? It don't matter what kind of weapon they may form and said it's going to take us out. It can't separate us from the love of God. Amen. He said there's nothing. There's not a creature, there's not an angel, there's not a principality that can separate you from the love of God.
Right.
I want to say this, I'm going to hush. In Isaiah chapter number 9, talks about how he promised us Jesus. He's given us the prophecy of Jesus' birth. But for the rest of the chapter, he talked about the sins the children of Israel were committing. How he turned their back on them, how he wasn't worshiping them, how he wasn't following them, how they had provoked the anger of God. God said, I can't get amongst that stiff-necked people. But the Bible says his hand is stretched out to him. Three times, I do believe it is, in that ninth chapter, he speaks of the children of Israel's disobedience. They still get his hand. He stretched out to him. Oftentimes, we look at this world, we look at this life, and maybe tonight you're here. And maybe you just got all kinds of problems and all kinds of issues. And I know Joanne's asking prayers for hers, but maybe you didn't say nothing. But can I say this tonight? Out of all those issues and all those problems, still can't separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
I've often reminded this. You know, people look at it and say, well, God loves me. God loves me. Why does God love you? Why would he show favor unto you? You know who he loved the most? He loved Jesus. You said, how can you say that? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 15, Jesus looked at the disciples and said, the Father has loved me. As the Father has loved me. And somebody says, well, how? Well, he let his son die. He let Jesus die because that's how much God loves us. And Jesus said, as much as the Father loveth me, so do I love you. Maybe you was at work this week. And somebody got real mouthy or real mean with you. And it makes you mad. But it can't separate you from the love of God. Maybe you was at school and some loud mouth, some bad mouth, but it still can't separate you from the love of God. Maybe you was in the traffic and somebody's honking the horn and trying to speak at you with sign language. Can't separate you from the love of God. Because when you think about this, and I thought about this, when I finally realized about the revelation of who my enemy was, the most important enemy, the enemy that I fight with the most, it's me. It's me. But I still can't separate myself from the love. But you know what I can do to myself? I can make the day go by a whole lot longer and a whole lot harder. When all those things that's listed, that he listed, that what shall separate us from the love of Christ, he even says, yeah, for his sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted sheep for the slaughter. about anybody else, but you ever feel like sometimes that people is just like you got the target on your back and everybody's having a free shot that day? Has anybody ever felt that way?
Yep.
You ever feel like people just said, you know what? You know, they can take it. Bah! Well, I don't care about them. You're getting hit all day long. It still can't separate you from the love of God. And the Bible says, which is in Christ Jesus. And that love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul said, which now lives in me. If you're saved tonight, you may come in here tonight and you said, preacher, this is not like any other Wednesday night service we've had. And it's not. But can I say this? Sometimes it's not in the routine. It's not in the outward things that we do, but it's by faith. It's by faith. The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. That's that love of God giving you what you did not deserve. That's grace. God not giving us what we deserve. Thank God we didn't get ill, but we got grace and salvation.
Amen.
And we got His love. And sometimes you may think, you know, and I'm trying to hush. I'm trying to keep from babbling. I don't know if anybody's ever been stabbed in the back. I don't know if anybody's ever been betrayed before. I mean, I'm not talking about somebody just saying something bad about you. I'm talking about somebody really betrayed you, to where it leaves a lasting effect in your life. Can I remind you of something? It still can't separate you from
Amen.
The love of God.
Amen.
Why are you saying this for, preacher? That way, when you walk out of here tonight, if you ain't got that frown turned back upside down, if you can't at least say, you know what? I've been making such a mountain out of this molehill. That way, when you walk out tonight, you can't say, God didn't tell me that no matter how big the problem is, He's big. And oftentimes, y'all hear me tonight? Oftentimes we forget and we neglect one thing that we have the most abundance of, and that's God's love. Everybody says, well, God is love, and that He is. He is love. But the Bible says faith, hope, and charity. That's love in action. That's love working for the dawn. He said, of these three, the greatest of these three is that charity, that love. And can I say this? If you're saved tonight, God's got the best dose of charity that's working in your life. But can I say this tonight? If you're not saved, you need to get saved.
Amen.
I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it. I'm not talking about just saying, I believe. You woke up one morning and said, I'm going to believe. I'm talking about conviction grips your heart. The Holy Ghost got a hold of you. God's power moved into your heart and revelated you. And you believed it.
Victory.
The word of God that was preached that said Christ died upon the cross of Golgotha's hill and gave His life. He said, I lay it down, but I take it up again. And you believe that He died upon the cross and rose again on that third and glorious morning. Believe it under righteousness, that means it's absolutely right. No matter what anybody else says, it's the most right of all right. It's a sanctified, holy right that nobody else will come to. Bible says you believe that in your heart. And then confess it. That's salvation. I know there's a lot of folks out there who say, well, it's more than that, preacher. Hey, let that righteousness of God and that believing on the heart, if it gets in there, it works.
Amen.
Or it wouldn't be in the book.
Amen.
Y'all right?
Amen.